Ke a utlwa hanyane but yo o khuluma kunzima akhothi modimo ngisokotha ukela khuluma isiZulu you know.
Hayi abantombazane basesoweto basiyazi Setswana ba mixa nje.
Yeah,
yeah, see,
but yeah, Zama, though.
Mixers,
mixers. I'm happy to be on with your listeners.
Right, tumela, ebile re leboga thata gore o bo re file nako ya gago lerato. Re tla bua ke boleletse le moreetsi gore Setswana wa go tsamaya ntse o se tlogela mo tseleng ka gore ga o sise. Mme rona re tla bua re tswelele mo re go utlwileng, re tla be re go utlwile. Re itumela gore bo o na le rona.
Thank you so much. The second son is a beautiful language. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful language.
Ga ke batle re bue ka the missing of a black woman in the Rainbow Nation. Ke batle re bue ka ya why I hire blue eyes before black guys.
Yo, go ntse me dimo thati talk about the one about talking about the other. Because the other was born from the other. Like somebody asking me to talk about myself and that my mother.
No, we are going to we are in Women's Month.
Okay.
So before the end of this month, we will be talking to you about the missing of a black woman in the Rainbow Nation. Tapel is going to call you to make arrangements on that one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
no, sure.
We have an appointment.
Right.
I only read comments online about why I hire blue eyes before black eyes. But I believe you've received a lot of criticism.
What do you believe?
You've received a lot of tongue lashing and criticism on social media and everywhere about why you hire blue eyes before black guys.
Yeah, you know, that was a headline chosen by the Sunday Times because they need to sell papers. That is not the name of the chapter, and without the context of the other pages that come before, it doesn't make sense. You know, luckily, since then people have read the book and there's been a lot of support and understanding what I was trying to say in the chapter.
What were you saying?
Ah, okay, wonderful. You see, now we get to the heart of it.
Yeah.
So the chapter was just on my experiences around builders, Elokshin, you know. And when I say Elokshin, I also mean in the homestead, whether you're from the Transkei or Thabane. And it's about how we all don't want to pay black service providers.
Yeah.
And so if Ubudi comes and says he can do the paving, suddenly without paving, without the wardrobe, you know, without the cupboards, without pool, and nobody, all of it. And when you are the jack of all trades, you become the master of none.
Yeah.
And Rebecca Rubin negotiates how black service providers, if Mutu Ari, if I was something at 5,000 when I was at 2,000. And I was contributing to that problem because I was refusing to pay. And I was thinking, you've seen those houses at auction where they're not finished, the cupboards the windows are cardboard, you know, the cupboards are falling, and it's just because the person did not get the money that they deserved, or Tina, we didn't pay.
Yeah.
So what I decided to do was to say, listen, I don't want to get somebody just because they're black, because that's what I was doing. I was trying to support black, but not wanting to pay. I want somebody who's going to do the job and do it well. Mm. If I can't find somebody who's black, then I'll get somebody who's white. But when you read the thing, obviously, because the other stuff that comes before that was not there, it's taken out. So it didn't read that way. So I keep up many about Shukata and Hubo and Twitter. You know, I've had several interviews since you and COVID. Explain about what, you know, how I got to it. And actually people have gone and got the book.
Yeah, but You grew up in the township. You saw how people were doing things in the past when you were staying with your parents. Now things have changed. Where in one of the lines in your book is where you say black people don't sign contracts and that they act inappropriately. And then you started working for yourself, you work in the corporate world, people came to your offices giving services there. If you say black people don't sign contracts, in the past I would say yes, you know, it would be, you know, my uncle is building my mother's house, so they just agreed, the uncle will build and disappear, then comes another uncle and finishes the whole job. But if you look at the current situation now, where a lot of black people have gone to school, have gone to do artisanship and all that, where was your research based on when you said black people don't sign contracts? Is it personal experience?
Whole entire book is personal experience. Okay. And also one of the things I mentioned to Komodin is that there are also some very good black service providers. I actually mentioned some of them by name. But what I'm trying to get people to understand is that we as black people need to support each other and support each other really well. And we need to be able to say 70% of the people we use are good and 30% are not. I've asked people over and over and over, every month, who do you spend money on who is black? Where? Nah. So where do you do your nails? Where do you do your hair? Where do you buy your clothes, your accessories? You know, are you supporting black business? And can I tell you, it hasn't been as loud as the angriness was, because after that experience, I went and decided that every month I was going to spend money on black people. Every month, not every other month. And I can tell you, from my accessories to my hair to my nails to the clothes on my back, I wear black people. And the more I do that, the more I contribute to the economy. And I'm asking everybody who was hurt by that thing, and like I repeat, I understand why, because they don't tell you my contribution to the problem. I'm saying, let's support black business and black business be excellent. That's what I'm saying. Let the average be the other way. I need to teach the majority. As the majority, we need to be 70-30, not the other way around. At the moment, Chris Medimen, you know this, the economy of this country is controlled by 8.9% of this nation. Why, when there's 87% black people? That doesn't make sense. Why aren't you giving money to other black people? That's the problem.
Other people would be saying, Lerato, that maybe the subject that was chosen, why I hire blue eyes before black eyes. You're looking at the current situation in the country where racism is coming back so rightfully that people are making comments about black people, white people. Now, you find that other black people are saying bad things about black people, and you start asking yourself, where am I? Is this the country that was called the Rainbow Nation by Desmond Tutu? Why are we starting to hating ourselves and start writing about our bad things instead of talking about improving ourselves into the era that we are in?
You know, I think we live in such a sad world where, first of all, I agree with you, it's hard being black at the moment. I think universally it's hard being black, but it's hard being black in South Africa. I think what we did as South Africa is that we jumped over the trauma of apartheid. And as black people, we tried to say, oh, no. In fact, all South Africans are like, oh, no, everything's fine, we love each other. But the Rainbow Nation is not working, Christian. It is not working. Like, whether we like it or not, it's not. You know, people said to me, what about the timing of your book? I wrote the book a year ago. So it sits on the schedule of the publishers and they choose when it comes out. So that's the first thing I want to say. The other thing I want to say is that, you know, my book in general is based on generalizations of men, of women, of black people, colored people, Indian people, and South Africans in general. Okay, I use myself as a mirror. My experiences are not research. They are not the gospel. They are not the universal truth. They are my truth. Okay. So I don't want people to read this and think I'm writing a dissertation. No. It's not a thesis.
Mm.
It is a work of satire about me leaving our country. But more than anything, criticism these days is seen as I want to assure you, Pitwami, that there's nobody who's more crowded than me of being black. Okay.
But what are you saying? Are you saying black people wake up?
No, I'm saying yes, wake up. Yes, you know what's happening, your question. Let me tell you something what's happening in South Africa. Black people, it's like we're in the house, we're fighting amongst each other, and somebody is coming into our house looting and taking stuff. And we're not stopping and saying, hey, we're not with the wine farm. Can you just wait a second there? Why are you taking my TV? Why are you taking this? You know? And we need to go back and hold white people accountable. And, you know, I asked a room full of white people last week. I said, who are your black service providers that you use? Like, who's your lawyer? Who's your accountant? No, seriously, let's ask these questions.
Yeah.
Because if you're if you say you're contributing to the economy, but your lawyer's Mrs. Weinstein, and you say, yeah, my tax person is, go to BMS and find a good lawyer.
Mm.
Why are you not using black people? And you can't use the excuse that they're all bad, I mean, because we all agree there are good ones. Why aren't you using us then? Tell us.
Mm.
Corporate, why aren't you using us? I'm telling you, I found this out very sadly into going into business myself. These generalizations of people not letting me in. It's terrible. We need to change it. We need to be excellent so we can get back the economy that is ours. You know, it's often very critical to me that whoever controls the money has the power. And we as black people in this country do not control the money, and therefore we don't have the power. And in order to control the money, we have to be excellent, and we have to take constructive criticism and move forward. And talk openly about what we get wrong so we can do it right. You know? And that's the essence of the book in general, whether I'm talking about relationships or the economy. You know?
I don't know, maybe you were too harsh. And you were telling it like it is, because Chief Justice Mogoeng, sometime this year, not long ago, sometime in June, he spoke about the black self-hate.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody said anything about it. If I have to quote what he said, I see who the parties in courts are and who they give work to. I don't mean to embarrass anybody, but state subsidized institutions, government departments, black people who have money generally, when they give work to attorneys and advocates, it is to white compatriots. If you think I'm exaggerating, come to the Constitutional Court, I will open the books for you. Then, my question is, if Judge Mogoeng can say this, and you say this, how different are these statements, or how different is what Judge Mogoeng is saying and what you are saying?
Look, the difference is that, you know, it is satire, so it is going to be harsher than normal.
Mm.
My background from writing for the Sunday Times is in satire. And so the book is a very hard book. In general, you know, it's embarrassing in general. And I'm exposing of myself because I couldn't expose us as a nation without exposing myself, because we all contribute. I can't explore the issues of black self-hate because I don't have that. And I think more generally, black people in this country are proud of being black. I think we're the majority. We love being here. We love who we are. I think we've just allowed external factors to make us feel other ways, but I mean, like I said, I'm an incredibly proud black person. I want to read you something from the book, from Professor Ndabulo S. Ndebele. Okay, he says the capacity of the country to imagine the future depends on the capacity of that country to nurture imaginative thinking from the beginning of a child's life right up to the end of life. The capacity to reinvent yourself as a nation constantly has to do with the quality of our family lives, quality of our communities, and the environment in which we grow up, and then beyond that, the schools, the governance, the principles embodied in our constitution. Now, if you read that, you would imagine that South Africa is this beautiful place. I mean, Joburg is known as the city in the world with the number one most trees in any city. But where are those trees? Are they in Soweto? Are they in Diepsloot? No. So my thing is not even about whether we hate each other or not. It's about what we deserve. And we deserve to have participation in the country economically and to live in great communities the way other people have enjoyed it for the past however many years during apartheid. And for us to get there, we're going to have to tell some hard truths, you know? And these are hard truths about us. But like I say, my truth is not everybody's truth.
Mm-hmm. Ke bona lena la buka sentle ke the way I see it. The way I see it, the musings of a black woman in the Rainbow Nation. Ke rata go tla se kwa le mo kwa dileng warning guaranteed to offend.
I know. Wait, I didn't think I would need it, but now I'm glad, actually, because you're back in the battle. Yeah, it's going to be bad, hey? But I want to answer you. I didn't answer you when you said, was I not harsh? The truth is I was harsh, but I didn't want to have a monologue, you know? I was told that black people don't read. They told me over and over. Yeah. So I wanted to learn Mutering. I would have never been on Mutering if I never wrote a nice, polite book. There are so many stations I've been on that I would have never been on.
Yeah.
If I wrote a very nice book that people are going to sleep on. But instead, I made you mad and I made you wake up. And I'm so grateful because I'm spreading the message of black excellence, which is my mission.
I read the Capitalist Nigger by Chika Onyana. I'm sure you read it too.
Yes. People have made comparisons.
Yeah, he was harsher than you are, but we were happy that he raised those issues, and some of us started to wake up and do something about our lives. We started talking about it. We started talking about the spider web doctrine that he spoke about in the book. And I don't know why, because this book is written by South African, a woman for that matter, and people start to criticize. What could be the problem here?
You know, it's interesting. You're one of three great interviewers with Gambit. I mean, like three impeccable interviewers, and all of them have been males who said this. And yes, I didn't actually think like that, but now I realize it, you know. If you look at black women, particularly black women, we're either feminists, you know. So, yeah, the movement of black women in the boardroom, you know. or with these airheads who like weeds and the blessa,
yeah.
You know. And so when you are neither and you're kind of in the middle of all of that, you know, people don't know what to do with you. So I think you're right, and I think it's interesting that men have seen this more than me. And I think it's a great thing about our society. Like, I feel you're one of three incredible interviewers who've made that observation. It's gratifying to see that as a man, you can still be able to sympathize with me. I really appreciate being able to see the world from your side, you know.
Thank you. Did you respond to Lusom Tali, who wrote on okafrica.com?
No, the fact that she's not going to buy the book.
Yeah.
No, because the book has 17 chapters and she read 800 words of that. So how can I respond, you know? I can't. But look, I must also be honest, the book is number 4 on the bestseller list.
Mm.
And I'm the only black woman on that list. And I didn't do that alone. But that's why I'm here about Reka Buka. And it shows that you are reading. So, look, what's one person to so many other people who bought? You've got to focus on what's working, you know. The message is getting out there. So, listen, if you don't want to buy the book, it's okay. The people who want to buy the book are buying. And they have a lebocha from the bottom of my heart.
But with all the criticism that you have said about the service of black people, are you making some recommendation? I haven't read the book. I just read these excerpts. I'm going to buy one because I need to talk to you about the book, especially that it's Women's Month. I'm sure we will feature you 3 or 4 times this month.
Ooh, so nice. Trading buttons. No, I'm a splash up on my China, guys. Go on, now, listen. Come on, Java. Sorry, I'm so silly.
But are you somewhere making recommendations? You say,
wake up.
Smell the coffee. This is how things should be done. You know, an issue of invoice is it's so important because when you provide a service and you don't issue an invoice, you'll find that the person who gave you a contract 2 or 3 months down the line will say, can you please send us a statement? And we don't have that financial management or bookkeeping systems that we know that you have to provide an invoice, especially if you provide service once or regularly, you'll have to provide a statement. And then you start hitting the rocks and say, but what is a statement? And you are in business.
Mm.
Are you making recommendations of how can we better ourselves in providing the service so that we can continue or we can start supporting each other?
Yeah, so one of the things I'm doing is, first I've started a hashtag called Black Business Excellence. So if I'm going to a restaurant, I went to Genelli, which is in Bryston, Lightover, which is owned by a black man. The place where I do my nails, which is in Parkhill, is owned by a black woman. I also hashtag Black Business Excellence. So wherever you go, if you hashtag Black Business Excellence, we're going to get all of that. And I'm trying to get a corporate to sponsor us so we can have a place where we can have black service providers, like an app for Black Business Excellence. People can go to and we will veto everybody. We won't have anybody who's bad on the government. So anybody who's part of our app, it's almost like a tip advisor for black business. So that's ultimately the dream, you know, and have everybody use it from everything from welders to nail technicians and hopefully we'll pressurize corporate South Africa to use more and more black service providers. The money is going back to the same hands. And this country is built by black people and stands because of black people. Let's use them economically. So that's the plan. But I'm also giving talks the whole of Women's Month as well about business excellence. I studied business and entrepreneurship at the University of Notre Dame in Indiana in 2014 for a fellowship in Nelson Mandela. So I'm using all those insights to help us, you know, move forward. Yeah. I hope I can. I hope I can with your help.
No, you will. You will. Did you mention something about Zimbabweans in your book?
About
Zimbabweans.
you can I tell you, I at the end of the part of the book. Why am I giving you the book now? Okay, let me. So I talk about us as South Africans and why we are so hurt by other people coming to the country and taking our jobs. I'm not making excuses for us, but I do try and ask our neighboring countries to understand why we are so. Because ourselves, Tina, Sierra Leone, we're not enjoying the fruits of our labor. So I don't talk about Zimbabweans alone, but I also talk about everybody else who's lived here, who's part of the xenophobic attack to say, guys, please just bear with us. We are also South Africans trying to come to grips with things, you know. And obviously, xenophobia is a horrible thing. I know you agree with me. But we are hurt people as Black South Africans. People need to understand the apartheid is the same as the Holocaust. It's a very touching point, and people must be patient with us. Listen to us about being said. So no, I don't touch on Zimbabweans. Are you asking because of how many we supposedly have in South Africa?
No, because the system that Zimbabweans understands the value of work, they are committed, they are not in a hurry to make quick money. Unlike South Africans, maybe you say, you know, you ask somebody to build you a house, he asks you 400,000 to build a house, and then you go to a Zimbabwean and say, no, you can give me 75,000, and he does a good job.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know, you know, and that's what I mean. I think you've also seen most of the helpers now, Boba Pumizim, most of the guys who are gardeners, they are impeccable. I don't know.
But what happened? What happened there, Lerato? You're touching on something that I've been asking myself. Hore, why now in the new era, democracy and freedom, where we can do whatever we like, we hire foreigners, white people hire foreigners in their houses, whereas our great parents, our grandparents, great grandparents, they did what these foreigners are doing at the moment. Why did we not continue with that? Especially when you see people relying on government grants and government RDP houses, when our parents never relied on government at that time. Is it a problem in the new South Africa where a 38-year-old young woman or young man does a garden for a black person or a white person, or helps in the house, becomes a helper, because most of them are foreigners?
That's such a deep question, and the only answer that I can come up with is and I hope it's an etiquette answer. I think Yakumbula, a couple of weeks ago, there was that lady, that white lady who was filmed swearing at the police, talking about the caliber of black people. Remember that crazy woman? Now, I think us as South Africans, because of the pain of apartheid, she has kulimela. You know? Rajeba will answer back, you say, I win, Omang win. You know? And I think that there's a servitude that a certain part of South Africa is very happy with. And I think, you know, we've just lost that thing of being tolerant. We're so angry. We want to come at you. So maybe, you know, Zimbabweans, this was not their struggle, so they don't feel as emotional when somebody white says something derogatory or patronizing to them. Whereas for us, you know, you think, I'm waking up in the morning, I don't think so, you know. So, because it's personal to us. When we are insulted and patronized, you're insulting me, my grandmother, my grandfather, my entire history. So maybe it could be that people from Zimbabwe, it's just, for them, it's not their struggle, so it's not the same. I think maybe, you know, I really don't know. I'm hypothesizing. What do you think?
But somebody 30, 40, I mean, our great-grandparents worked for white people for a long time.
You
find some of them having worked for 40 years at that house. And she survived. She has four kids. All of them went to school, went to university, and they qualified. And we pride ourselves that my mother was a domestic worker. But now you are unemployed and you are not doing anything. Does that mean that your mother didn't teach you anything? Or being a domestic worker, you see it as demeaning? and it was only that your mother wanted to make ends meet so that you should go to school and then you should not be like her. But if you look at what we are going through now, it looks like we are worse than what they had in the past.
Yeah, you know, so I also talk about in one of the chapters, the second chapter in the book, I talk about domestic workers or helpers, and the fact that we just don't appreciate these women who leave their kids to take care of other people's kids, and that you can still do that job with great dignity, but at night you need to pay people. I think, you know, I remember somebody saying to me, in London, most of the jobs that are considered to be menial jobs are done by people from Eastern Europe,
so
Russia, Slovakia. But Londoners would rather be on the dole than clean the streets and the waiters. And sadly, well, that's our thinking, which is sad because I'd rather work than...
But if things were not as they were, would you have, if your life hasn't turned out to be what it is today, would you have chosen any other job?
Look, it took me a year to break into journalism, because journalism, particularly magazine writing,
yeah,
I think there are 10 magazine black writers and we all know each other. Everybody else is white. So it took me a year to break into journalism, and in that year I cleaned dishes, I vacuumed floors,
okay.
I sold clothes, you know, I So I did whatever my mother was like, come be a servant, I have to sell in a lokshin.
Yeah.
So I, until I broke into journalism, I did whatever I needed to do, you know. And I think that's what you're saying, is that why are we saying we know my job better than others? You know, just get your foot in the door and start working. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
Ke metswele
metlhano pele fela ga ura ya lesome ore di tseng motsweding FM. Re bua le Lerato Tšhabalala, ke moeng wa rona o kwadile buka e re solofetseng yaka tlhalosa gore setse le kwa godimo mo marakeng. Wa re mo maemong a bokae? Number 4. Ware ke number 4 Lerato buka e?
Number 4?
Yeah.
As in
sales.
Oh, yes, we are the top 4 selling book in the non-fiction literature the past 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Rebeletse
thata mo bosen metlhano pele ga ura ya lesome. Re lebeletse thata nngwe ya dikgang tse di kwadilweng mo bukeng eo. O amogetse ditshwalo di le dintsi tse di ganetsana le se a se kwadileng ka bantsho, gore rona re goga dinao, ga re dire tiro e maatla metlo, fa re dira tiro re filwe job, re filwe span, mo gongwe re a tlogela. Go na le mo gongwe mo ke ratileng temo kwa dineng Lerato, where you said you hire the service provider and then he brings his guys to come and work maybe on the carpet or on the ceiling, and then after the guy drops them at the offices, this guy starts to sit, and they start to sit under the tree. They come to you and say, my sister, I can do a better job, why don't you hire me? Do you have any extra job after this one that I can do? Is that your personal experience? Is that what you saw happening every time you give jobs to other, to black people?
Oh, sometimes it really works out well, eh? Sometimes they save me money from the blue-eyed guy. No, I quite love Maka.
Yeah.
But most of the time, you know, like for instance, but nothing is fun, you know. But anyway, I hired a white company to do the pool for me. But then the same guy had been coming for a year, you know?
Yeah.
So then, like, I couldn't even the pool, you know? It was the same day, same thing, but I mean, I have surprised. You need to know, for sure, you know. Ah, Mwedimu, unlucky as on a Saturday, was 7. Sometimes as on a Thursday, sometimes as Nazi. I'm like, but like, I need to see Vumelan, I'm not a long lady, so that I know I have to see, I have to watch my phone with a Vumelan, and get a complex thing.
Yeah.
When I'm also any other time you want, you're messing up with the schedule, you know? So there are times when it hasn't worked, but then there's been other times, like these other guys who came to paint for me, who were excellent. So that depends, you know? I've also learned, which if somebody's good at one thing, hire them for that.
Yeah.
So if you're good for the pool, I'm going to be paving, this is your case. No, go find somebody else for that. You know, it's okay to specialize, guys. There's nothing wrong with
that. We have received an email from Mzibi Kwani. He wants to hear your comment on what Simpiwe Dana said, that what you have written in the book will not affect your sales. Do you believe that?
I think that I've said before on SNDC3 that I am a huge fan of Simpiwe Dana. Actually, her and I know each other personally. And I own actually 3 of her albums, which I went and bought. I've been to her concert twice. I mean, I want to believe that I'm the authority on music because I have her CDs, but I'm not. In the same way that she must respect my craft as a writer, I must respect hers. But then again, this is a public platform and she's allowed to say whatever she wants. So it's her opinion, she's entitled to it. That's what I think of it.
But I think, I don't know, is it paradoxical when she says it won't affect your sales? But she won't buy the book.
Oh, I love you. I can't wait to keep talking to you. Yes, it is. Ooh, yes, it is paradoxical. It is. I mean, I think it goes back to playing into the stereotypes of black people don't read, you know.
Yeah.
And like I said, ECT Press published my extract and they were very true to it.
Yeah.
So I think we must not forget that papers, media houses also have an agenda. And so the Sunday Times are there, and that's fine with me. I don't approve of it. I don't agree with it. It was not reflective of the funniness of my book, the South Africanness of my book.
Yeah.
But be that as it may, maybe I couldn't have talked to you if they hadn't done that. So everything is everything. God is good.
Yeah. Let's take one or two callers, Lerato, before we wrap up our interview.
Sorry, please.
Yeah. Dumela tsala. Le kae tsala?
Le kae.
Ke tlo tsala, re tlo
tsala. Thank you.
Yeah.
Ba ke tsena.
Hello. No,
stop.
Wheel. Tsala. Una ro tsena. Ga ga. Ga ga. Le ra tola ne wheel ba. Ke tsoro khare. La o ga ogile magala ga Lerato. Ke me ke ura ya la somela bongwe mo motsweding a FM re bua le Lerato Chabalala mokwadi wa buka e ke ntse ke go fa lena la yone eo. Ba ke le ndi popo. Go na le chapter mo bukeng eo ya why I hire blue eyes before black guys. Yaanong re tlotla ka yone go utlwa gore ene a re mme ga ga utlwa le a swabile a utlwile botlhoko ke etse leng tsa ditshwaelo o amogela mme o tlhalosa kgang ya gago o boile gore se a se kwadileng ga a se kwala ka ntlha ya dipatlisiso tse a di dirileng ke se ene a se bonang letsatsi le letsatsi seo se mo diragalelang ke seo se diragang mo matlhong a gagwe yaanong a re utlwa gore wena wa reng o le moreetsi wa motsweding. Tap Gauteng ya re megala e bosigo yana ke motso somara fela ga ura ya lesome le bongwe
o baba dilalelo
pele ga re bua ka gore ke ikatiso EPWP fa motho ga le moge yone e tsewa jaaka ikatiso kgotsa ke tiro fela ya ngwaga fa ke bua ka ikatiso e nna gore fa o fetsa